And greetings, everybody. Good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for choosing Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. My name is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Wednesday, January 9th. A local coroner has determined that two boys died of overheating after being left in their mother's SUV in Mesa County. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that according to the Mesa County Coroner's Office, the manner of death of 2-year-old William Hayes Jensen and 4-year-old Tyler Brandon Jensen has been ruled an accident. The coroner's office determined the cause of death to be hyperthermia, an abnormally high or greatly increased body temperature. The boys were found unconscious and unresponsive in 24-year-old Heather Jensen's SUV on November 27th after she called 911 for help. The Sentinel reports that William was pronounced dead at the scene. Tyler later died at Children's Hospital in Aurora. Jensen told investigators she left her two boys alone with the SUV parked and its engine running for about 90 minutes near Powderhorn Mountain Resort as she met with a man nearby. The Mesa County Sheriff's Office is investigating the deaths. Members of the Colorado Oil and Gas Commission wrap up a 3-day hearing in Denver today. At stake are new rules to oversee a new boom in oil and gas drilling. At the heart of those rules is changing how far a drill rig can be from homes and schools. Benta Berkland has that story from the state capitol.
The Colorado Oil and Gas Commission is proposing to mandate a 500-foot setback distance between oil and gas wells and buildings, up from the current 350 feet. But many members of the public say it still wouldn't be far enough.
Our proposal all along has been 1,000 feet to offer the kind of protections that you know, from the impacts that we know homeowners are facing, whether it's noise, dust, you know, air pollution, water problems.
Pete Maysmith heads Conservation Colorado. Environmental groups and people in towns such as Longmont and Boulder are pushing back against the rules. Democratic Congressman Jared Polis also testified for a larger buffer zone. Maysmith says he wants the governor to get involved.
This is a governor that did paid radio spots for the Oil and Gas Trade Association. This is the governor that led the state into a lawsuit against Longmont for the regulations that were passed. His advocacy of the industry would be one thing if there was the leadership as well in demanding the strongest environmental protections.
The negotiation that's going on right now, I don't need to insert myself into the middle of it.
That's Governor John Hickenlooper. He hasn't commented on the latest setback proposal, but is a strong advocate of natural gas.
There are very positive benefits that come from horizontal drilling and hydraulic fracturing, such as the inexpensive natural gas. The bottom line is the United States, I mean, our air is significantly cleaner in the United States today than it was even 6 years ago, because as natural gas becomes price competitive with coal, it is cleaner, it's not as hard on a plant to run.
And even if the Oil and Gas Commission adopts the new rules, the issue isn't going away. State lawmakers will consider legislation to increase the setback distance even farther and add more environmental protections during this year's session. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The deaths of a Grand Junction couple on Grand Mesa last Saturday has led to further calls for improvements to the popular but dangerous County Line trailhead. Grand Junction residents 65-year-old Glenn Iyer and 63-year-old Linda Iyer were struck and killed by a vehicle that careened into the parking area. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that 21-year-old Joshua Ooms of Cedar Edge was driving north on Colorado Highway 65 when he swerved out of the path of another vehicle driven by Bradley McKee of Fruta that was making a U-turn in the road. The Iyers were in the parking lot near the roadway and died at the scene after being struck by Ooms' vehicle. The Sentinel reports that the deaths are especially senseless for members of the Grand Mesa Nordic Council because they were avoidable. Council members said it's heartbreaking and infuriating that they weren't able to make the parking area safer sooner. The Sentinel reports that the Nordic Council has identified improvements at County Line as one of their top priorities for the last decade. They plan to add parking spaces, bathrooms, and a changing hut, but construction won't be completed until at least next summer. The project is a combination of efforts from the Nordic Council, Delta County, Mesa County, and the U.S. Forest Service. Forest Service spokeswoman Lee Ann Loop says that improving County Line's trailhead has been a top priority for the agency, but work probably won't get started until this summer. She says most of the delay is due to the search for funding. A Norwood woman is being treated in the intensive care unit at St. Mary's Hospital in Grand Junction following a car accident on Norwood Hill Friday night. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that Beth Reed Hess was driving home to Norwood Friday evening on Highway 145 when her truck left the road for unknown reasons. Her Toyota Tacoma rolled many times before coming to a stop near the riverbed, far below the highway. The Planet reports that soon after the rollover, a passerby called search and rescue. Crews were able to get Hess and her two dogs out of the vehicle, and she was flown via helicopter to Grand Junction. Both dogs were unharmed, and Hess has spent the past few days in the intensive care unit. Her friends have told the Planet that she suffered bruises and lacerations, but no brain injuries, and is already on the road to recovery. The Planet reports that Hess has lived in the area for many years and works at the Sawpit Mercantile on Highway 145 between Telluride and Norwood. She is known for her love of animals and work ethic. After the accident, Highway 145 was temporarily closed for the helicopter landing. U.S. Senator Michael Bennett's office will co-host a series of workshops across the state for Colorado businesses looking to expand abroad. According to Bennett's office, Colorado's exports increased by at least 10% last year, amounting to nearly $7 billion in revenue. Entitled Beyond Colorado, How to Bring Your Products and Services to the Global Marketplace, the workshops are designed to help businesses, ranchers, farmers, and food processors take advantage of this trend and grow their customer base outside the U.S. The workshops are currently planned for Colorado Springs, Denver, Durango, Fort Collins, Grand Junction, and Pueblo. For more information, visit Senator Bennett's website. Work-related fatalities in Colorado in 2011 were just slightly higher than the year before. A report from the State Health Department shows that there were about 3.5 deaths for every 100,000 workers in the state's workforce in 2011. The top three causes of work-related deaths were related to transportation, mostly vehicle collisions, violence, and contact with objects and equipment. The victims of work-related fatalities were overwhelmingly male, white or Hispanic, and middle-aged. Industry-specific fatalities reported 13 deaths in natural resources and mining, 16 deaths in construction, and 6 deaths among farmers, ranchers, and other agricultural managers. Work-related fatalities are identified through review of death certificates, workers' compensation claims, reports of the U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and other sources. It looks like it may be difficult for the Colorado Bureau of Investigation to get additional state funding to deal with the huge backlog of firearms background checks. The Denver Post reports that CBI missed a window of opportunity to immediately secure its request for $500,000. The agency says it needs that money to deal with the flood of checks pouring in at about 1,800 a day, way more than the Bureau is able to process. The Post reports that the Bureau made its request for more money earlier in December. The state legislature's Joint Budget Committee could have voted on the request quickly. By waiting, the Bureau now finds itself facing a weeks-long wait for the committee to act as the legislative session starts Wednesday. And even if the request has been presented to the Budget Committee, committee members said they were reluctant to approve the request. CBI was flooded with checks shortly after the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in Newtown, Connecticut. Before that, the Post reports that the background check process usually took around 15 minutes, or no more than half a day. Colorado is not the only state overwhelmed with masses rushing to buy guns. The Associated Press reports that nationally there were nearly twice as many more background checks for firearms between November and December than during that same time period 1 year ago. But the AP reports that background checks typically spike during the holiday season. And that concludes your local newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, my name is Eric Gould. Have a great hump day, and thanks for listening.